Bud Warren and George Garland sat inside a stand of trees above the lip of the valley. Warren was wanted in New Mexico territory for bank robbery and murder. Garland, a petty criminal, had warrants out for him in Arkansas and Texas.
It's cold up here.
Damn right it is. Ned said we couldn't have no fire on account of Morgan. He might see the flames or smell the smoke.
Morgan's probably dead by now.
Then where the hell is Carson? And how come we ain't seen hiding our hair of Luke and Will and Mike?
Carson most likely made camp to wait out this storm. Same goes for the others. A horse don't travel too good into a wind full of snow.
Carson didn't have no provisions with him. Just some whiskey and jerky. He'd ride hard for the shack if he could. I'm sure of it.
You're saying Frank Morgan got Carson? Nobody ever put so much as a nick in Carson's hide.
All the same, he should have been here by now. It's damn near dark. The others should have been back. I got a bad feeling about this.
Bud took a pint bottle of whiskey out of his coat.
Have some more red eye. It'll make the waiting easier. Tom and Zeke are supposed to come up here and relieve us after it gets full dark.
George took the bottle and drank a thirsty gulp.
Oh, this here's the best invention since the gun, Bud. Man can't hardly live without it, especially around here. This old ghost town, it's kind of spooky when the sun goes down.
Whiskey helps.
Bud peered over the top of a boulder at the snow-laden mouth of the valley below.
Hell, ain't nobody in his right mind gonna ride through this wind and snowfall tonight.
So how come Ned's so dead set on killing Morgan?
Well, he goes way back. Morgan whipped Ned and Victor over something. Then they went and killed Morgan's woman, and he come after him. Morgan killed a bunch of men in Pine's gang and some of the boys who rode with Van Bergen. They want revenge for what Morgan did to him.
Well, sounds like Morgan's the one with the reason for revenge. Don't know what any of it has to do with me. That was before I throwed in with Ned. I was just coming out of Fort Worth at the time.
I was there. Morgan's a killer. A damn good shootist.
I used to hear stories about him. That was years ago, before I took up the outlaw trail. Folks said he was meaner than a long-horned bull on a prod. And nobody was faster with a six-gun.
No, he's just a man. You can kill damn near any sumbitch if you go about it right.
I hope Carson got him.
Maybe they killed each other.
Well, that could be what's taking the others so long. Looking for the bodies and all this snow.
Bud leaned back against the rock with a blanket thrown over him.
Oh, I figure Morgan's dead by now. Soon as old Cletus Hewlin and that mess can get here with the kid, we'll head back south where it's warmer, rob a few banks and trains. This here cold weather don't agree with me.
It hurts my joints. I hate this cold. As soon as this business with Morgan is over, Ned promised we'd ride down to Texas. You can bet on one thing. Things swing to our side soon as Hewling and Diego get here. Hewling is plumb crazy. If he took the notion, he'd kill Ned and Victor all by himself.
Well, I'm going to ask Ponce to take us down to the Mexican border so we can get ourselves some pretty senoritas.
That damn sure sounds good on a day like this. Sitting up here at the top of this canyon without no fire. We're liable to freeze to death.
It's going to be pitch black soon. That fire and that pot belly down at the shack is sure going to feel good.
He closed his eyes, pulling his hat brim over his face.
You keep an eye on that trail down to the valley for a spell. I'm going to try and get me some shut-eye. Zeke and Tom ought to be up here to take over guard duty for us pretty damn soon.
It's too damn cold to sleep. You fall asleep in this cold, you might never wake up. Pass me back that whiskey before you freeze to death so I can stay warm.
I'm gonna throw in with you. Made up my mind on it.
No need unless you're just restless or reaching for a fight.
Got nothing to do with restlessness, Morgan. I've been thinking about that 18-year-old boy of yours and the way things are stacked against you.
I've never been one to worry about the odds.
Frank placed more sticks underneath the coffee pot. The smell of coffee filled the clearing.
There's times when it pays to worry a little.
Maybe.
Skies darkened the west as the still of evening crept down the mountainside.
I'll show you that old engine trail down the backside of the valley. It was used by them Manassasi. If I stay perched up in them rocks with my sharps, I can get a few of them.
I'm obliged for the offer, but there's no need to put your neck in a noose over me. I can handle whatever's down there on my own.
Morgan, All you need is two more legs, and you'd be the stubbornest mule I ever met.
Well, my father didn't give me much, but he gave me that.
Coffee was boiling out of the spout, and Frank put on a glove to take the pot off the flames, placing it on a rock beside the crackling fire. Buck drew an Arkansas toothpick from a sheath inside his right boot.
I'll slice up some of that fat back and put chunks of jerky with it. Ought to make a decent meal.
Sound mighty good to me.
Frank added a handful of snow to the coffee pot to get the grounds to settle to the bottom.
We can get moving as soon as it's dark enough to hide us. That's a toothpick you're carrying. I got one of my own, only it's a Bowie. Best knife on earth, either variety.
Mine skinned many a grizzly and elk.
Buck pulled a chunk of salted pork from a wax paper bundle, then cut thin slices off with his knife.
I know the way to the valley real well. Trapped it a few times.
Is there any cover on the floor of that valley?
Scrub pines. Not many. If Ned holds up in the town to wait you out, it'll be a long haul.
I got plenty of ammunition. After I start filling that cabin with lead, they'll come out.
This isn't the first time you've done this, is it, Morgan?
Nope.
Do it ever bother you, thinking about the lives you took? I still have nightmares about the Yankees I shot during the war.
Buck, I never killed a man who didn't deserve it.
I guess who's deserving depends on who's asking. Then, I wasn't there to ask, was I?
Buck laid strips of fat back in Frank's small frying pan and added a few pieces of jerky. He set it on a flat stone close to the flames, nestling it into the glowing coals.
That ought to do it.
Coffee's ready.
Frank glanced up at a gray sky darkening with nightfall. He poured himself a cup, then another for the old man, tossing him a cotton sack of brown sugar.
Yeah, mighty nice. You don't get much better than this.
You're right. Open country, a warm fire, and good victuals. God or not, I'm thankful for the blessings.
Well, don't forget about the coffee.
I didn't.
The sizzling pork gave off a wonderful smell. But Frank's thoughts were on Pine and Van Bergen and how best to bring them down. A back way into the valley would give Frank a tremendous advantage. With a shooter up on the rim, things could get hot for Pine and his bunch. Frank owed the old man for his willingness to lend a hand. The first order of business would be to take out any riflemen guarding the trail. If he made his approach very carefully, he could take them without making much noise. Then, he'd make his way down to the abandoned town and start the serious business of killing off Pine and Van Bergen's men one or two at a time. Buck turned over the fatback strips with the point of his knife.
Yeah, won't be long now.
Zeke Giles and Tom Ledbetter were still drunk from a night-long consumption of whiskey. Both were small-time crooks from Missouri. Ledbetter was wanted for a string of robberies, and Giles was a small-time cow thief. Zeke looked up at darkening skies.
I thought this storm was going to blow over. Looks like more of this goddamn snow is headed our way.
Just our luck. We'll freeze our asses off up here if that wind builds again.
Zeke glimpsed a shadow moving among the boulders behind them.
Oh, who the hell is that?
Tom turned in the direction Zeke was pointing.
I don't see nothing. You imagining things.
I was sure I saw somebody headed towards us.
Who the hell would it be?
This bad light plays tricks on a man's eyes. I wish it wasn't so damn dark tonight.
Oh, you're seeing things. Relax.
Pass me that whiskey. Could be I'm just too cold.
Tom handed Zeke the bottle. Zeke raised the bottle to his lips when suddenly a dark shape appeared on top of the boulder behind Tom. An object came twirling through the air toward Zeke, then something stuck in his gut.
Son of a...
He fell back in the snow, a Bowie knife buried in his gut just below his breastbone.
What the hell?
Tom scrambled to his feet as Zeke slumped to the ground. A heavy rifle barrel slammed into the back of Tom's head. He sank to his knees, losing consciousness before he fell over on his face.
What happened?
The shape of a man stood over him.
Who the hell are you?
Frank Morgan.
Oh, no. We were I'm supposed to be watching for you.
You weren't watching close enough.
Oh, please. Please don't kill me.
You're already dead, cowboy. Tip of my knife is buried in your heart.
No.
Oh. Zeke felt warm blood flow down the front of his shirt. His eyes batted shut. Zeke no longer felt the cold. Tiny snowflakes fell in sheets across the abandoned town. The bottom of the valley floor was covered with several inches of white. An eerie silence gripped the valley as Frank made his way down slippery rocks and sheer cliffs, following the old Anasazi trail Buck Waite showed him. Smoke curled from the rock chimney of a shack in the middle of the abandoned town. Frank watched it as he made slow but careful progress across the valley. Behind the cabin, more than a dozen horses stood with their tails to the wind in crude pole corrals. A pile of hay was stacked in one corner. He moved quietly through the scrub pines. To the north, Buck was covering the cabin from a cluster of rocks up the hillside.
I hope he's a good shot from a distance.
The red-bearded old man proved to be an excellent woodsman. But from the top of the rim rock, even with a long-range rifle like his Sharps 52 Buffalo gun, he'd have to be better than most men to hit anything.
It's time I made Pine and Van Bergen pay.
He crept closer to the cabin.
No way to do this quiet.
Still, he was careful with the placement of each foot. A horse snorted in the corrals. Frank remained motionless behind a pine trunk until the animal settled. A range-bred horse would notice him making an advance toward the cabin. A horse raised in a stable wouldn't pay him any mind. There was a big difference in horses. Frank always preferred the range-bred variety. The snowfall grew heavier. A blast of northerly wind swept across the top of the valley. Frank knew Buck was freezing, waiting for things to start. A bit of luck to run across Buck Waite when he least expected to find any help tracking down the outlaws. While he usually worked alone, it was a comfort to know Buck was up there with his rifle.
Maybe I can catch one of them coming out to relieve himself.
Frank moved closer to the outhouse through the quiet. Frank found the quiet unsettling, but the silence could also be a blessing if he used it to his advantage. Big John Meeker, wanted for bank robbery over in Mississippi and for a killing in Indian Territory involving a trading post operator and his wife, spent the night and most of the morning drinking. His bladder was about to burst. John stood over the two-holer, letting his steamy water flow into the hole dug beneath the benchwood seats. This waiting for Ned Pine's adversary was getting the best of him. Hell, there was no money to be made from killing an old gunfighter like Frank Morgan. Unless there was a profit in it, John held little patience for personal grudges. Ned was out of his head with a need for vengeance against this Morgan, a gunman well past his prime.
Don't none of this make any sense to me. That's better.
Pale light suddenly flooded the outhouse. John turned his head to see who opened the door. A knife blade sliced between his ribs. He only caught a glimpse of the figure standing behind him. Without buttoning the front of his pants, John jerked his Navy Colt 44 free and staggered outside, cocking the hammer with blood cascading down the back of his Mackinaw in regular spurts, pain coursing through his ribs.
You sneaky son of a bitch!
With nothing to aim at, John let the Colt drop to his side as chains of white, hot agony shot through his body. His trigger finger curled.
Ow!
John, a professional gunman by trade, shot himself in the right leg with his own 44 caliber slug.
Damn! Shit! God damn!
John hopped around on his good leg, spraying blood all over the snow from both of his wounds.
What the hell was that?
Billy looked out the back door of the log cabin. John was in too much pain to answer.
Look, old John went and shot himself in the leg.
I wonder how come he done that. All he said he's gonna do is take a piss.
He's dead drunk, Billy. When a man's that drunk, he's liable to do anything.
John continued to hop around in a circle, desperately gripping his bloody pant leg.
What do we do, Waylon?
Shh! Let the dumb sumbitch dance out there in the snow. If he ain't got enough sense to keep from shooting himself, then let him jump up and down.
Before Billy could answer, a rifle thundered from a stand of pines behind the cabin. Billy Willis, a horse thief from Nebraska Territory, fell down in a heap in the cabin doorway with his hands gripping his belly.
I'm hit!
Waylon Burke, an El Paso hired gun, was trying to get out of the way when the next gunshot rang out. Something hot hit him in the back, pushing him forward into the doorframe of the shack from the force of the impact. Waylon sank to his knees with blood squirting from his shirt front. Men inside the cabin began scrambling for their guns. Frank moved away into the curtain of snow. The sound of his rifle still echoed among the scrub ponderosa pines where he'd fired at Pine's men. Frank found a new hiding place 50 yards to the north. That made five of Ned Pine's men out of the fight, with the battle just begun. He moved silently deeper in the forest behind the empty town to make his next play. A thunderous gunshot from the rim of the valley burst the chest of Charlie Saffel, a hired killer and stagecoach bandit from Waco. He fell down in the snow with his hand clamped around the walnut grips of his pistol. Frank saw Saffel go down at the front cabin door.
Buck weight's good. Hell of a lot of range for any long gun.
A barrel-chested cowboy came out the back door with a rifle, a Spencer, clutched to his shoulder. He swept his gun sights back and forth. Frank took careful aim and pulled the trigger on his Winchester. The cowboy did a curious spin before firing a harmless shot into the treetops. The gunman went down slowly, his eyes bulging from their sockets, wishing he'd stayed in New Orleans instead of joining Ned Pine's gang. Frank jacked another shell in his saddle gun.
Everybody stay put. Don't show yourselves. It's gotta be Morgan.
Ned Pine's gray eyebrows knitted. He peered through a window of the cabin. Tommy Sumter, a buckaroo from Nevada who was meaner than a one-eyed rattlesnake, sat tight against the wall.
How the hell did Morgan get past our lookout?
How the hell should I know? Just shut up! There's another shooter up on the rim.
I thought you said Morgan always worked alone.
He does. That's what I can't figure.
Pine's pale eyes moved across the valley rim. His eyelids slitted.
Ain't heard no fire from Tom or Zeke.
Morgan probably got to both of them. Or the other bastard shooting at us got him. We don't know who the hell he could be.
Reckon that happened to the others. They should have been back by now if they had any luck.
Luck's a funny old biddy. My daddy always said, if a man is lucky, his life's like licking butter off a knife. Them boys may have run into Lady Luck when she was madder than an old wet hen. They ought to have been back here by now.
Victor leaned against the doorframe.
I got it figured the others are all dead.
What the hell would you know about it?
Pine filled both hands with iron. Victor was not disturbed by Ned's question, nor was he disturbed by Pine's bad reputation.
No need to get your dander up, Ned. I was just thinking our luck ran out. Morgan is good. We knew that. No use to go barking at a nod.
Ned backed away from the window.
We ain't done yet with Morgan.
Jeff Walker leaned against the window pane.
Well, there ain't nobody out there, seems like.
A slug from a .52 caliber Buffalo gun entered his right eye.
Damn!
Jeff went to the dirt floor of the cabin with the back of his skull hanging by tendons and tissue. A plug of his brains lay beside the potbelly stove. A twist of his long black hair clung to the skull fragment.
Holy shit!
Tommy backed away to the center of the room.
Them's Jeff's brains hanging out.
Shut up! Give me some goddamn time to think.
Frank heard a distant rifle shot, figuring Buck found another target. Then, suddenly, something struck his left shoulder and he went down, stunned, tumbling through the snow. He tried to scramble back to his feet. Then everything went black around him. He knew he was falling and couldn't help himself. Frank awakened to the smell of wood smoke. He saw the dim outline of a cabin roof above his head. Slow waves of pain shot through his left side, down his arm, and across his ribs.
Oh. You okay, Morgan?
Where am I?
My place.
Where the hell is your place? What happened to me?
Slowly, events returned to him as he regained consciousness. He saw a man with a tangled red beard leaning over him. He tried to remember who the stranger was.
You took a chunk of lead, Morgan. It ain't too bad nor too deep. I dug it out with my knife. I'm sure as hell glad you was asleep when I done it. You hollered like a stuck pig after I got it out.
I suppose I'm lucky to be alive.
He couldn't recall how anyone got behind him to catch him with his guard down.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Your name is Buck. Buck Waite. Things are coming back to me now.
This here is my daughter, Karen. She fixed you some soup made out of dried wild onions and elk meat. When you feel up to it, she'll give you some.
Frank's eyes wandered across the small log cabin until they came to rest on a pretty young woman dressed in deerskin pants and a fringed top, with her dark red hair tied in a ponytail.
Pleased to meet you, Karen. Oh, sorry it has to be under these circumstances. Oh, I feel like a damn fool right now.
She came over to him. He guessed her age at 30 or less, and as he first surmised, she was pretty.
You lost a lot of blood. Let me know when you want some soup.
Something smells mighty good, but I sure do wish I had a spot of whiskey to help with this pain in my shoulder.
We've got some corn squeeze. Daddy makes it himself out of Indian corn in the summer.
Oh, how can you sell?
Frank tried to sit up on a crude cot made of rawhide strips and pine limbs.
Lie back down. I'll fetch you some of the whiskey.
Oh, where's Ned Pine and the others?
Back down in the valley. I seen them find that patch of blood you left in the snow, so I figured they sure they got you.
They're wrong. I'm not dead yet. Unless this is all a dream.
Well, you ain't dreaming, Morgan. But it'll be a spell before you can move around.
Where's Wolf and my horse?
The bay's out yonder in the corral. And this dog of yourn won't leave the foot of your bed. Every time I try to take him outside, the bastard growls at me and shows his teeth.
He's harmless. Most of the time.
Well, I ain't gonna take no chance. The damn dog can stay right where he is till hell freezes over for all I care.
Here's your soup.
Karen appeared above him with a steaming tin cup.
It'll be a bit salty. It's the only way we have to preserve the elk meat for the winter.
He sat up slowly and took the cup she offered him, finding a cloth bandage around his left arm and shoulder.
Oh, much obliged to both of you.
He gave Buck a glance.
Buck didn't tell me he had a beautiful daughter.
Wasn't none of your damn business till now.
Sorry.
Frank took a sip from the cup, resting a trembling right elbow.
Delicious.
Karen came back with a clay jug. She brought it over and set it beside him on the dirt floor of the cabin.
This here's the whiskey. Drink what you want. It's got a touch of burn to it.
Buck scowled at his daughter.
It wouldn't be worth a damn if it didn't. Whiskey without no kick to it is just branch water.
May as well take a bath in it.
It'll help.
Frank's mind had already strayed to other matters as he tried to gather his thoughts.
How far is this place from Pine?
Far enough. They'll never find you here.
You sure about that, right?
Sure as I am that the sun's gonna rise tomorrow. You'll feel better by then.
Frank pulled the cork from the jug with his teeth, spat it out, and drank deeply from the corn whiskey. He took a deep breath, drank again, and felt the burn all the way to his belly.
Yeah, that's a mighty good squeeze.
Boy, I don't make bad shine. There's a secret to it.
I'd say you found the secret.
Yeah. Drink the soup if you can.
Her smile made her prettier still.
I'll do my best.
Frank's mind returned to the business at hand.
Where are my guns?
I picked up your Winchester when you dropped it. Your pistol's over yonder by the potbelly stove.
Feels good to be warm.
It's the whiskey.
It's the soup.
Karen gave her father a subtle wink.
Like hell. Soup never did nobody so much good as the right kind of home-brewed whiskey.
Karen turned away without saying another word. Frank drank more soup, chasing it with whiskey, as he slowly stewed in his own juices.
Damn.
He wondered how he was so foolish as to let a gunman get behind him. Buck stirred in a rawhide chair near the potbelly.
Wasn't your fault, Morgan.
How's that?
Frank took note of the subtle curves beneath Karen's buckskins while she added split wood to the stove.
It was snowing.
I should have known better.
Careless was all you was.
Careless can get a man killed.
Frank settled back against a lumpy pillow.
Men in my profession know that real well.
Maybe you shouldn't stay in that gunfighting profession no longer.
I did quit years ago. If it hadn't been for what they did to my wife and my boy.
Don't sound like that son of yours is much good at taking care of himself.
He isn't.
Frank felt the whiskey soften the pain in his shoulder.
It isn't his fault. It's a long story. It doesn't need telling. But I never got the chance to raise him proper.
Maybe I'm just being nosy, but how's that?
Be quiet, Dad. He doesn't want to talk about it now.
Sorry.
Buck returned to his sweetened coffee as snowflakes fell softly on the cabin roof.
I was forced to leave my wife before the boy was born. Didn't see him at all until he was a grown man.
There, I told you not to pry into it, Dad.
You got my apologies again.
Frank closed his eyes for a moment, remembering the past he wanted to forget.
I've learned to live with it over the years.
Karen came over to him.
Do you want more soup or some coffee?
No, ma'am.
He noticed Wolf at the cot as he began to lick Frank's hand.
I might be able to use more of that whiskey.
Good squeeze, ain't it?
Never tasted any better. As soon as I'm strong enough, I'll need my horse and my guns.
I figure I know why.
I came all this way for a reason. I'll feel better in a bit.
It'll be dark soon. No sense getting out in this cold when a man can't see. Whatever you aim to do to them fellas, you can wait till morning.
I'm not much on waiting.
You'll need your strength.
Karen offered him the clay jug.
If you go out in this weather, it'll drain you something awful.
She's right. Wait for sunrise. The men you're after will be easier to see. Right now, I'm guessing they figure they got you, even though they ain't found your body. In the snow back yonder, you left a hell of a puddle of red, and they'll think it's the end of you.
I'm wasting time.
Frank looked steadily into Karen's soft brown eyes.
I need to be on the move.
Shape you're in, you won't be able to move very damn far.
Wolf licked Frank's hand again.
You see, even your dog agrees with us.
Wolf never was all that smart.
Frank reached for the dog's forehead to give it a rub.
Is that his name?
I couldn't think of one much better at the time. What's so funny?
The name. I'm afraid to ask what name you gave to your horse.
Mostly I just call him Horse when I'm not mad at him over something.
Karen put the jug beside him on the mattress and walked over to the stove, warming her hands.
Gonna get cold tonight. I'll give that horse of yours and my pinto a little extra corn. It's late in the year for a squaw like this.
Buck got up and headed for the cabin door, hesitating when he reached for the latch string.
Maybe you brung all this bad weather with you. Morgan?
Frank's eyelids felt heavy. He didn't answer the old man as he drifted off to sleep. Cold winds whipped past Conrad Browning, his horse, and swirled around the two men escorting him toward higher peaks, invisible through the snow and dark of night.
I'm freezing!
Cletus Hewling gave the boy a steely look as their horses plodded up a switchback toward Glenwood Springs and the valley beyond.
Cletus, you want me to give this baby something to complain about?
Diego Ponce pulled a foot-long bowie knife from his stovepipe boot, snowflakes dusting his sombrero and his dark black beard.
Yeah, Diego, shut the bastard up. I'm tired of listening to the son of a bitch bellyache.
With one sudden motion, Diego grabbed a fistful of Conrad's hair and, jerking him sideways out of the saddle, sliced off the tip of his left ear. Blood poured over Conrad's woolen greatcoat. Cletus, leading the way, turned back in the saddle to watch the pain on Conrad's face. Diego tossed the piece of the boy's ear into a snowdrift.
Now you have something to cry about.
Diego wiped the blood from his knife on one leg of his badly worn leather chaps. Blood seeped down Conrad's cheek as he held his palm to the wound and slumped over in the saddle.
My father! We'll get you for this!
That old man of yours don't give a damn what happens to you. Leastways, that's what you've been telling me since I grabbed you. He didn't come up with the money Ned and Victor wanted from him before. Well, he better bring the money this time, or you're a dead son of a bitch.
He came after me.
Conrad nursed his missing ear tip with a handkerchief he removed from an inside pocket of his snow-laden coat.
Morgan never did get to Ned, whelp. He's way past his prime. You got too old to mess with the likes of Victor and Ned. At least that's what everybody says about Frank.
You'll see.
Tears brimmed in Conrad's eyes as their horses climbed higher into the Rockies.
Frank Morgan will make you sorry for what you've done to me.
You want me to kill this little bastardo?
Nah, let him bleed and let him moan as much as he wants. Ned promised us a $10,000 share of the ransom he's gonna get from Morgan, and we're damn sure gonna collect it.
Does this Morgan have that kind of money?
He's got plenty, according to Ned. We ain't gonna take no chance by killing the boy.
Diego put his knife away.
If he make more noise, that cut off his outer ear. And he don't hear so goddamn good when he make all this noise.
Suits the hell out of me. As far as I know, he's worth the same to us with or without ears. All we gotta do is find this place of Ned's. I got us a map to it.
How come we don't just shoot this worthless little piece of cow shit?
We need to keep him alive so his daddy will see he's okay. That's how we get to 10,000, according to what Ned told me.
Well, I say we kill him.
Cletus glanced up at the mountains looming before them.
I reckon that's why you're flat broke, Diego. You leave the thinking part to me.
Diego went into a sulk. Conrad kept the handkerchief against his ear as their horses began a steeper climb. Once, Cletus glanced over his shoulder at their back trail.
I do not see nothing, senor.
Cletus turned up the collar on his Mackinaw and kept on riding, shivering, wishing they'd brought along more whiskey. There had been plenty of it for sale at Durango. All they had between them was a half pint of red eye.
Oh,
shut up! No!
Diego sent a second boot crashing into Conrad's skull.
Take it easy on the little bastard. We got us a $10,000 package there if you don't kill him.
It is muy frío. I don't like to listen to this shit complain.
Tie something over his damn mouth.
Cletus tied his horse in a clump of trees.
We're gonna make us some coffee so my insides don't freeze. Bring that bottle so we can put a little bite in it.
Por favor, senor, but the bottle is almost gone.
Cletus whirled toward his Mexican companion.
You've been drinking it this whole time?
It was cold, senor.
Cletus jerked out his revolver.
You got any idea how cold it's gonna be if you're dead, Mexican?
You would not shoot me.
I goddamn sure will if that pint is empty. Fetch it for me now.
But there is only a little bit left, Jefe.
If there ain't enough to keep me warm, you're a dead son of a bitch, Diego. I paid for that pint with my own goddamn hard money.
Maybe so. There are a few swallows, senor.
There damn sure better be more than that, you rotten Mexican bastard.
Diego turned toward his horse to reach into his saddlebags. Diego Ponce slumped to the snow on his knees with a dark stain blackening his coat. His horse snorted and bounded away in the snow, trailing its reins.
Never did have no use for a thirsty Mexican.
Cletus holstered his pistol. Conrad drew back into a ball when the roar of the gunshot faded into the pines.
You killed your partner.
Diego never was no partner of mine. I couldn't sleep good at night, worrying if he'd slit my damn throat when he took the notion.
Dried, frozen blood was caked on Conrad's left cheek.
I've never met anyone like you.
Ain't likely you ever will again, boy. You just remember one thing, kid. I'll kill you quicker than I just kill Diego if you mess with me.
I understand. You've made yourself perfectly clear.
Killing Diego Ponce got Cletus Hewling's blood up. Between his anger and his greed, he just kept moving.
Why stop for coffee with $10,000 waiting just for me now that crazy Mexican is dead?
Cletus and Conrad rode through the night. Cresting a ridge, they found, crossing a high mountain field, four Indian riders clad in buffalo robes, almost hidden by veils of snowflakes, but outlined by the pre-dawn light. Cletus recognized them as Pawnees.
Indians.
He swung the horses off the trail as quickly as he could.
Now you shut the hell up, boy, or I'll kill you same as I'm about to kill them damn Redskins over yonder.
I won't say a word.
Cletus jerked his 10-gauge shotgun from its boot and swung to the ground. The range between him and the Indians was close enough for a scatter gun.
Get down off that horse.
No!
Cletus aimed the gun at Conrad when his boots touched dew-fallen snow.
I said get down, you little bastard.
A The mounted warriors came toward them at a gallop with ancient muskets to their shoulders.
Take this, you bastards!
Another shake lunged toward him, a feathered Indian on a buckskin horse. Cletus fired again, satisfied when he saw the Pawnee topple off his horse as the buckskin pony swerved away from the gunshot. He cracked open the barrels in the nick of time, jamming two more cartridges into the smoking chambers. Just as he snapped the gun closed, another musket barked. A snow-laden limb above Cletus broke in half with a dull crack, showering him with white flakes. But he did not allow anything to distract him from taking aim at the last two charging Indians. One warrior was ripped from the back of his sorrel pony as if he'd run into an invisible stretch of rope. The Pawnee went tumbling over his horse's rump, tossing his long-barreled rifle in the air.
One more.
Cletus turned so his aim would be perfect. He closed his finger around the second trigger of his bird gun. The kick from the stock almost took him off his feet when the load of buckshot spat forth. A slender Pawnee warrior aboard a black pony went flying off the animal's withers without ever firing a shot, his buffalo robe tenting behind him where balls of molten lead shredded his ribs and spine.
Gotcha!
Cletus watched the pony gallop away, trailing its jaw rein. Then there was silence. As a precaution against more attacks, Cletus reloaded his greener.
You killed all of them.
Conrad hunkered down behind a tree.
That's what I aim to do, boy. And if I take the notion, I'll kill you same as them.
You killed your own partner, the Mexican fellow.
Some bitch had it coming.
Cletus turned his freshly loaded gun on Conrad.
Shut the hell up or I'll do the same to you.
But I'm worth more to you alive.
Maybe. Only I don't think Frank Morgan is gonna know the difference. If his saddlebags are full of gold, like they're supposed to be, Ned's gonna kill him anyhow. Victor or one of his men don't get to him first.
Cletus scanned the meadow and mountainsides.
Ain't no more of them critters. We got a lot of miles to cover, kid, so shut up and ride.
The two mounted, and Cletus led Conrad's horse toward higher elevations as the snow continued to fall. By his own reckoning, they had two more days of hard riding facing them before they reached the valley. A soft touch on his forehead awakened Frank. He knew he'd been dreaming. A knifing pain spread slowly through his left shoulder.
Oh, where am I?
You're at our cabin.
His eyes opened slowly.
Our cabin?
Mine and Dad's.
Things came back to Frank by degrees. He recalled the gunshot that took him unawares, a shot from behind.
Had to be Buck. The old gent who brought me here. Seems like he had a beard, rode a pinto pony. And now that's all I remember. He was showing me how to find... Oh. I went down into the valley alone.
That was my paw who brought you here.
Where is he now?
He rode off a while ago to see if any of that Pine or Van Bergen bunch was close to our cabin. He said he'd be back before sundown.
How bad is my wound festering?
Frank reached for his left shoulder.
It has blood poisoning streaks. I changed the bandage a while ago.
I gotta get out of this bed.
You ain't going no place, Mr. Morgan. You lost a lot of blood. Drink some more of this whiskey.
I won't turn it down.
Karen handed him the jug, helping him hold it to his lips until he took a swallow.
Oh, that stuff is strong enough to float a colt.
It's supposed to be. Pa says that's what makes it good for an ailing body.
He tried for a smile, admiring the smooth lines of Karen's face. While he was in no shape to be courting a woman, he found Karen Waite to be very attractive.
I take it the storm hasn't broken yet.
Karen set the clay jug on the floor.
Pa says it could last for a couple of days. A squall, he calls it.
He gazed up at the sod roof of the cabin.
I gotta get back on my horse. Van Bergen and Pine could slip away under the cover of the snow.
You can't sit a horse in the shape you're in, Mr. Morgan.
I sure aim to try.
Frank flexed the muscles in his left arm, wincing when more lightning bolts of pain shot through him.
Not till Pa gets back.
You don't understand. I've ridden a long way to have my revenge against Ned and Victor for what they did to my wife and my son.
Karen stood up, leaving the whiskey beside his cot on the dirt floor.
Wait till Pa gets back. It's nearly dark now anyhow. Nobody in his right mind is going to go anywhere in a storm like this.
Frank surrendered to her logic. For now.
Okay. Just don't let me drift off to sleep again.
Rest will be the very best thing for you right now, Mr. Morgan.
Why don't you call me Frank?
Wouldn't be proper. We ain't acquainted.
Then let's get acquainted. Tell me why a pretty girl like you is living up here in these mountains with her father.
He needs me.
It has to be more than that. Buck seems like he's able to take care of himself.
All we've got is each other.
Karen moved over to the wood stove to add more pine limbs.
Why'd you come up here with them in the first place?
To be away from folks. Pa had a hard time during the war, and he didn't want to be around so many people. Nothing up here but deer, elk, and grizzly bears, besides the smaller varmints along the creeks.
Don't you ever get lonely?
No. I like it up here.
But you're miles from any settlement.
She turned away from the potbelly to stare at him.
When we feel the need to see folks, we can ride down to Glenwood Springs or over to Cripple Creek. When we don't, there ain't nobody who bothers us up here.
Sounds peaceful.
He reached for the whiskey with his right hand.
It is. Pa wants it that way.
Why?
On account of the war. He said he's seen enough of what men can do to each other.
I understand that.
Frank took a big swallow of corn whiskey.
You sound like pretty much of a loner yourself.
I am. I reckon it's for the same reason your pa likes it up in these mountains. Don't take long for a man to get enough of civilization.
We get by. The winters can be hard sometimes.
And cold.
The cabin stays warm. We get ready for winter with plenty of firewood. This place could use a few more chinks between some of the logs.
Frank pushed a moth-eaten wool blanket off his chest and struggled to a sitting position, movement that only increased the pain in his left side.
You shouldn't be moving around, Frank.
I can't stay here. I got business.
It'll keep for a few days.
It won't keep until Ned Pine and Victor Van Bergen are dead.
Pa says you're a killer.
There was a time when I made a living at it. But not now.
You just said...
This is different. This is personal.
You won't be strong enough. This cold drains all the strength out of a body.
Not mine. I'm used to the cold or the heat.
She came over to him and sat beside him on the cot, with worry in her eyes.
Pa says you aim to go up against that bunch of outlaws single-handed.
Frank nodded.
Yeah.
You don't know those men. They're all paid killers.
I know them real well. That part don't scare me one little bit. They shot me. But it's because I got careless and let one of them get behind me.
But Pa said your son was safe now, down in Durango or thereabouts.
I aim to make them pay for what they did to Conrad. I won't let them get away with it.
Pa says there's a lot of them hard cases in the valley.
I've skinned them down by a few.
You killed some of them?
A handful. Your father gave me some help.
Pa said he wasn't going to kill no more men after the war was over.
I reckon he made an exception. I owe him for what he did.
We came up here to live peaceful.
Karen stared at a cabin window covered with deer hide.
I may have pulled him into a fight that wasn't any of his affair.
Did you ask him to help you kill those men?
Nope. He did it on his own. That's a fact.
Karen was thoughtful a moment.
We try to live quiet. Even when those Indians come around, Pa gets along with them and gives them what they want.
Frank remembered the Indian he saw outside the cemetery at Glenwood Springs.
Do you mean the old ones? The ones who came before?
Some call them that.
Are they Utes? Shoshone?
No one knows. They've lived here for a very long time. I only saw them a few times. Pa says they're real careful about showing themselves to strangers.
Who are they?
Ask Pa about it.
I already did. He didn't tell me much.
Karen got up off the cot, as though she didn't care to talk about it anymore.
I'll warm up some more of this soup. It'll help you get your strength back.
You didn't answer my question.
I didn't aim to. Ask my pa about it.
The pain in Frank's shoulder forced him back down on the bed, and he closed his eyes. The Indian he saw beyond the cemetery fence at Glenwood Springs seemed real enough. He tried to recall what Doc Holliday told him about the local Indians. Some folks claimed they were ghosts from the past, some tribe called the Anasazi.
I saw one of them.
Karen turned quickly from the potbelly where she was warming his soup.
You're joshing.
It's true. I couldn't get a good look at him, but he was there. He spoke to me.
She went back to her cast iron pot.
I'm completely serious.
And just what did this Indian say?
He directed me to the valley. That's one reason I'm here.
Are there other reasons?
She asked without turning around to look at him.
Oh, a white man. Gunfighter by the name of Doc Holliday told me this was where I could find Pine and Van Bergen.
You'll have to ask Pa about that. I'm on my own business when it comes to gunfighters and Indians. Only, Pa told me you were a gunfighter, so I reckon I shouldn't be talking to you now.
That was a long time ago.
Frank's eyelids grew heavy again as the corn whiskey began to do its work.